Welcome, everybody, to episode 38 of the Pixel Power Podcast. I am your host, Steven. And first of all, I am recording this on November 11th, which in the United States is Veterans Day. So I want to wish a very happy Veterans Day to all of our veterans worldwide who are listening to this episode. Also am back after some additional time with the Pixel 4 XL. We talked about that in the last episode, and stick around in the addendum. We're going to talk a little bit more about some of my thoughts regarding my use of my brand new Pixel 4. But today we are going to move away from the Pixel and go back to, or the Pixel phone and go back to our Pixel books and our Pixel slates. And we're going to learn how to master our Chrome OS and especially our Pixelbook and Pixel Slate keyboards. That's right, we're going to become keyboard ninjas on our Chrome OS devices. And for this episode, I did have to go back to using Google Docs as my format for show notes. Some of you may have noticed that recently I've just been using a web page, but the formatting that's available in Google Docs really helped me to create a much more comprehensive set of show notes, and hopefully a set of show notes that you're going to want to print and maybe put to the side of your Pixel device, your Pixel book, so that you can have those keyboard shortcuts and those tips and tricks right at hand. So let's go ahead and get started right into the episode. Let's talk about that Chrome OS keyboard and how we can get these shortcuts that are built in into our muscle memory to help save us time, and more importantly, impress all of your friends for how quickly you can do things. And did I mention that this will also make you more productive? So let's roll into the very first thing you will want to do on your Pixel book. I say you want to do, you may or may not want to do this. For me, I definitely want to do this. There is an option that allows you to remap some of the keys on your keyboard. Some people may not be aware of this, but within settings and keyboard, and I do have an image in the show notes, and of course, again, directions for everything I'm talking about is in the comprehensive set of show notes. So make sure you go to www.pixelpowerpodcast.com/episodes/0038. And on that page, you'll find the Google Doc that includes all of the things I'm going to talk about in this episode. So going back to remapping your keyboard, if you go into settings and keyboard, you can remap your main function keys, such as your launcher, your control, your alternate key, your escape key, your backspace key, and if you're on a Pixel device, your assistant key. You can even modify the assistant key to be something else. It's pretty powerful. Why would you want to do that? Well, in my case, I want to do that because I also use a Mac. If you're not familiar with a Mac, the Mac switches the control and alternate keys from the PC keyboard layout. Now, let's go ahead and dive into some Chrome OS keyboard shortcuts. But the first thing I want to do is I want you to know that all of the Chrome OS keyboard shortcuts can be called up quickly with, you guessed it, a keyboard shortcut. So if you hold down Control Alt and the forward slash, which is the slash that's underneath the question mark key, that will display all of the keyboard shortcuts available in Chrome OS. And there are a ton of them. But while I'm preparing for the show, you know, I didn't really want to cover every single shortcut. Can you imagine? That would be a long show. It would be tedious. So what I've done is I've narrowed my show down to those keyboard shortcuts that maybe make you more productive. Maybe it's a keyboard shortcut that you weren't familiar with. So I'm not going to be sticking with the obvious cut, copy, paste, bold, those things. We're going to dive into some that make you more productive and let you get things done a little bit faster. And more importantly, are kind of impressive to find out what you can do with just a couple of keystrokes. So let's roll right into it. And I've got this episode kind of labeled into various parts of the keyboard shortcuts or categories. And the first one I want to talk about is focusing the address bar. There's only two keyboard shortcuts here. And I think most of you know that if you hit Control L or Alt D, you may not have known about that one, that will place your cursor in the URL bar of Chrome browser. Now, so that's in the Chrome browser. That works even across other devices, Mac, Windows. Hitting Control L will focus the address bar so that you can Control L and then just go ahead and type in your URL. But try this, try Control plus K. That's a little different. Control plus K will still move you to your address bar, but then it automatically defaults and lets you do a Google search only within the URL bar. It's pretty handy to have, especially if you want to focus on a Google search. So those are the first two I want to share. That kind of gives you an idea for how we're going to run through the rest of these through this episode. So let's go on to our next area, which is tabs. Primarily Chrome OS started as being just an OS that hosted a web browser. So there's a lot of great shortcuts. It pulled over from the browser that you could get on other PCs, and tabs and the shortcuts around tabs are pretty much the same ones that you could use across all devices. So quickly, Control plus tab, you all probably know that. Control plus tab will shift you to the next tab in your Chrome OS browser. Control shift and tab goes to the previous. So it's the same thing, only instead of moving right, you're going to move left in your tabs. Now here's something you may not have known though. Did you know if you hit control plus one, the number one through number eight, that will take you to that numbered tab? So for instance, if I wanted to get to the third tab in my tabs in Chrome, in the Chrome browser, I would hit control plus three, and then it would switch automatically to that tab. That is a handy feature. If you have more than eight, you're just out of luck. You're going to have to go up there and shift through those. Or as I've mentioned in other episodes, if you have a trackpad, you can swipe three fingers across and move between the tabs. But if you want to keep those fingers on that keyboard and not lift them off, then use the control plus the numbers to jump through the first eight tabs. If you'd like to open a new tab, simply hit Control T. Most people probably know that one, but did you know that you can close a tab quickly if you hit Control plus W? So Control T to open, Control W to close. And if there is no tab open, in other words, you're not using the Chrome OS browser, but you have another application, if you Control W, that will also close out that application. Now let's roll into window management. Let's move those windows around our screen. Now this is pretty impressive. First of all, if you hit Alt Tab, I think you all know you can switch through running windows. Now we're out of the Chrome browser. Now we're talking about window management of not only the Chrome browser, but any other applications you have running. So Alt Tab will bring up the window switcher so that you can see which applications are open and you can switch quickly through them. But did you know if you hit Alt plus the closed bracket, then that will take your window and dock it to the right side of the screen. If you hit Alt open bracket, that will dock a window to the left-hand side of the screen. What that means is when you dock it on the right, that window will move to the right and take up 50% of the right-hand side of that screen. If you dock to the left, it will take 50% of that screen and dock it to the left. So it's a great way to quickly move two windows, one on the right, one on the left. So again, that's Alt plus your brackets, either bracket open or bracket closed. If you want to toggle a full screen window, you may not have known, just a simple Alt plus plus will do that. You'll blow the screen up. And what's really fun is when you take these Alt brackets and this Alt plus and you start playing around with it and do an Alt bracket, Alt plus, Alt left bracket, close bracket. What you do is you get this really fun thing with the screen moving around your window. So give that a shot and try that. If you're not familiar with them, this is a great way to manage windows on your screen. My only wish was that there was some other options there, like doing a quarter of the screen. That would be fun to be able to move around a quarter screen. Maybe in future editions or future versions that will come. Another fun one that I really just kind of learned about is control plus the equal sign or control plus the minus sign. You should try this. This increases the zoom percentage of your window. So if you're in the Chrome OS browser and you want to increase that zoom to 110% or you want to decrease it to 90%, use control plus equals and control plus minus. Now, a little bit later, I'm going to show you how to change not just the window resolution within a Chrome browser, but the entire resolution of your screen with a simple keystroke. That's pretty fabulous, and we'll get to that in just a minute. Let's dive into the keyboard shortcuts for file management. The first one I want you to know about is Control plus O. Let's say you're in your G Suite, you're in Google Docs, Google Slides. If you Control O, that will open up your file browser. If you're in any other application in Chrome OS, that should also open up your file browser. So you don't have to go up to File, Open, just hit Control O, save yourself some time and not take your fingers off that keyboard. The other thing that's available in the file management is, and this is in the Files app. So we're actually in the Files app, and you're looking at files and you're trying to figure out which image file, you've got a name, but you can't really see the image. If you click on the file name in the file manager, hit the space bar, you will get a preview of some files. Now, you would imagine that images and videos would kind of give you some kind of preview, and PDFs, of course, that works. However, what you may not have known is it also will give you a preview of G Suite applications, so like G Slides or G Sheets. If you click on that, hit the space bar, it'll give you a little preview so that you can see inside that Google application, that Google Suites application, and see what's inside. If you are in the Linux partition in file management, or you have hidden files in Google Drive, you can display hidden files or show those hidden files in the file app using Control plus dot, which makes sense because most hidden files begin with a dot as part of their file name. So that makes sense to have Control plus the period. I shouldn't have said dot, period. Control plus period will show and toggle your hidden files. Now let's go back to the browser and look at some shortcuts within the browser. The first one I want to talk about, so we're back in the Chrome browser, is Control plus J. That will open a downloads page for you so you can see what you've downloaded recently. So Control plus J brings up a brand new tab that displays your downloads page. Now if you want that same thing from history, guess what shortcut that is? You guessed it, that's Control plus H for history. Now that doesn't work for downloads page, right? I get it. It's not Control D for downloads, but it is Control H for history. So that makes it a little bit easier. And that will bring up another tab that displays your history. So if you need to quickly see your history, your browsing history, you can do that with Control H. Now, let's say you're looking at your browsing history and you really would like to clear that. You can do that quickly by hitting Control plus Shift plus backspace. That will allow you to clear your browsing data with one more click after your keyboard shortcut. It's a good quick way to get there, and you don't have to go hunting in the windows for that. Some of the other things in the browser, if you want to kind of browse a web page without having to use your mouse, remember that you can Control Alt and up arrow to jump to the top of a web page. You can Control Alt down arrow to jump to the bottom of the page. What you may not know is that there is a page up and page down, even though it's not on our keyboards. If you hit Alt plus arrow up, that will page up. If you hit Alt plus arrow down, that will page down. So that's how you use page up and page down. I will tell you, I just doing this episode learned that. I should have known that years ago. It sure would have made my life easier to know that. Again, it's probably one of those many of you knew, but for me, it's one I just picked up. It's a new addition to my keyboard shortcut muscle memory that I'm enjoying. Another one that's handy is Control Shift B. Control Shift B is handy because what it does is it toggles your bookmarks bar. So let's say you want to hide your bookmarks bar, hit Control Shift B and it goes away. It gives you a little more real estate on your screen if you're trying to get just a little extra area for your web page, or you just want to get the bookmarks page out of your way, or the bookmarks bar out of your way, you can do that. Another handy one that I really like using is Control Shift N. Control Shift N will let you open an incognito window. And I love using incognito windows when I'm trying to determine what something will look like if someone isn't logged into my website, for instance. So if I want to see what the website looks like if I'm not logged in, or if I want to look at a Google Doc that I've shared publicly on the web and want to see what that looks like to someone not logged into Google, that's a great use for the incognito window. So in order to do that, again, Control Shift plus N. Pretty easy, huh? Now, when you're editing a lot of text in a file, it really makes sense to learn the cursor movement shortcuts. And most of you know, you hit the little key right, so I can do that right here, you know, right. You hear that, right? You hear me typing right. If I do that, then that's going to move the cursor right. If I move it left, it's going to move it left. Okay, you get all those, right? But did you know that if you hit launch plus right arrow, that will move the cursor to the end of the line? So if you've been looking for that end key on the keyboard, it's not there on a Chrome OS keyboard. However, it is there with a hit the launch key or the search key. Sometimes some people call it the search key. Some people call it the launch key. We're going to call it the launcher key. And hit launch plus right, that'll move to the end of the line. Guess what? If you hit launch plus left, that'll move the cursor to the beginning of the line. So if you need to get back and forth to the front and to the end of lines quickly, that's the way to do it. Don't take your hands off your keyboard and go looking for your trackpad or mouse. Just simply hit launch plus right or left. Now, if you're trying to make selections and you want to select, for instance, from the beginning of line to the entire end of the line, of course you could hit shift and hold the arrow and tap, 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 tap. But if you combine that with the previous shortcut I shared with you and you hit launch plus shift plus right arrow, that will start from where your cursor was and select everything to the end of the line. And if you go the opposite direction, you can launch, shift, left, and that will go back to the beginning of the line from wherever your cursor was. So it's a great way to quickly move through your strings of text while you're editing. So let's talk about some shortcuts that kind of get to the system level of Chrome OS. The first one that you all should be familiar with is holding down launcher and tapping escape will load the task manager. So if you have an application that's behaving poorly, it seems to be locked up, many times you can hit launcher plus escape and a task manager will display. Try that yourself so you can see what that looks like. I also have an image in the show notes so that you can see what that looks like. But again, it's a great way to do several things. First of all, you can kill applications or end a process, as they call it. You can check up and see what kind of memory footprint your application or your browser is taking. That's handy. If you seem like you've got a lot of slowdown, you can go in there. You can also see what the CPU cycles are, which applications are taking the most CPU cycles. You can also see which ones are looking at the network. And there's other features in there as well, such as the process ID. If you remember from my old Linux on Chrome shows, the process ID is another way you could use a terminal to kill an application. You won't need to do that because now you know how to bring up the task manager using the simple launcher plus escape keyboard shortcut. If you really need to see everything in the launcher, remember that you can hit shift plus the launcher button, and that will load the full screen version of the launcher. I often wondered how to do that because if you hit launch, you have to take your hand off the keyboard, hit the up arrow to see the entire launcher menu. But if you hit shift launcher, then you can see the entire menu. If you do have an icon on the shelf and you want to open it, again, you could take your hands off the keyboard, go over to your mouse or trackpad, and you could scroll down there and tap it. Or you can do alt and the number 1 through 8, and that will correspond to the icons on the shelf. So if you want the very first icon on the shelf to open, let's say that's your Files app, hit Alt-1, and that very first icon on the shelf will launch. Try that out. That's pretty sweet. I really enjoy that. Now, it only goes to 1 through 8. However, if you want to open the last thing on your shelf, and that could be an application that's already running, you do Alt+9. It won't be the 9th icon on your shelf. It will be the last icon on your shelf. So that is a handy tool, too, to quickly get to those applications you need to launch. Okay, here's a fun one I learned about, and this is actually modifying the display resolution in real time. This is pretty cool. If you go to settings and you go to your displays, you may have noticed that you can change and modify the resolution, the default resolution of your Pixelbook or Pixel Slate. I'm sure this works on other Chrome OS devices as well. But the Chrome Pixelbook or the Pixelbook and the Pixel Slate have these real high resolution screens. And typically what you're seeing is not the operating system taking a pixel by pixel representation, because if it did, everything would be really super tiny. It'd really be hard to see. So Chrome OS will scale that so that we can see it. However, you can change and modify that not by going into the settings menu, but you can modify that on the fly with control, shift, and then equal to zoom the display in, again, modifying the resolution. We're not talking about being in a Chrome tab or anything. We're talking about the entire OS displaying or zooming in and modifying the resolution in real time, or you can control shift minus to display out. It is so much fun to go control shift, equal, 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 control shift, minus, minus, minus. You have got to try this if you've not done this before. Again, it's a great way to modify the resolution on the fly, and it's good for when you have situations where maybe you want to really zoom out on a document and get more on display, but the OS piece and the icons are just a little too small. So now you can zoom back in to bring those and get those at a size where you're comfortable. So give that a try. And I'd really love to know how many of you knew that. Let me know if you knew that prior to this. That was one that I found I've been going into the menu and changing it manually. So I'm so happy to understand and know that this keyboard shortcut is out there. Now, another thing you can do is if you've zoomed in, zoomed out, and you're not sure what that default resolution was, simply hit Control Shift 0, and that will reset the display to the default resolution. Now, one more keyboard shortcut for display that could come in handy, and that's the opportunity to rotate your display 90 degrees. That is simply done with a Control Shift and then the rotate key in the upper function key area. So check out Control Shift Rotate, and that will allow you to rotate your display 90 degrees. Now, the first time you do this, it'll say, are you sure you want to do this? Just say yes, it's fine. And rotate it around 4 times and watch the screen just rotate around. Could be good if you want to take, let's say you have an external keyboard and you would like your Pixel Slate, for instance, to be in a portrait mode rather than a landscape mode. You can rotate that screen 90 degrees and now you can do that. If you've been following the development of Chrome OS, you know that it now includes virtual desks. And virtual desks are additional desktops that are created within the memory of Chrome OS that you can switch back and forth to. And with virtual desks, you can have up to 4 different desktops. You can move applications between those desktops. And of course, you can switch between those desktops quickly. So it's like having 1 desktop in front of you. You switch to the one to the right. The one that was in front of you shifts over to the left and it pulls up the one to the right. So they're virtual. So you move through them in a virtual way. It's kind of hard to describe, but hopefully you get the picture. And you can create those with your trackpad or mouse, but a far more efficient way to do it is to use Shift plus Launch plus Equal. That will create a new desktop. You can also delete a current desktop with Shift plus Launch plus Minus. And plus minus may sound a little weird, but it is Shift plus the Launch key plus the Minus key. So don't go looking for a plus minus key. Okay, everybody got that? Now, so that's the way that we can create a new desk and we can delete a current desk. Now the fun and magic happens when you want to activate and move between those 4 virtual desktops. If you want to go to the desk on the virtual desk on the right, then what you do is you hit launch plus close bracket. If you want to get to the desk on the left, launch plus open bracket. So try that the next time you're on your Chrome OS device and watch those virtual desks shift between them. Remember, you can only have 4 right now. And remember, you need to create those before you can move through those. So you'll need for all 4 of them, you'll need to do a Shift plus Launch plus Equal 4 times to create a new desk. Again, the fun gets even better when we use Shift Launch plus close bracket to move an active window to the desk on the right. So you've got, let's say your file manager sitting right in front of you. Behind that, let's say that's on top of your Chrome browser. You want to get that Files app out of the way. You can do that. You could minimize that, which would be one way to do it. Or you can simply move that to the right desk, get it over there. And then when you need it, you can use Launch plus close bracket to go to the right virtual desk. And so you can move around and move these windows back and forth between these virtual desktops. Once you work on it and understand it, it does become something you I think you'll find you will use quite regularly. I have started to use those more. I was familiar with virtual desktops on the Mac, and of course Linux has these. So I was great. It was great to see these appear on Chrome OS, but it does take some getting used to understand them. But learn how to use them using keyboard shortcuts first. If you can do that, I think what you're going to find is virtual desks become much more useful, especially if you can just keep those hands on that keyboard. All right, we're down to our last 2 kind of areas. And one of them, I think all of you should know. If you don't know, this will be a great refresher. And it's how to do screen captures using keystrokes. You can get, for instance, extensions for the Chrome browser that will let you do screen captures. But you really need to learn these keyboard shortcuts to get and optimize and make these screen captures so easy that just at a whim, you'll capture it for even the easiest things, like trying to share with someone what something should look like. And maybe you want to email that to them and guide them through that. So there's 3 different screen capture shortcuts. The first is Control plus, so this is hard to describe, but it's actually called the switch window button. So you want to look up in the top row of your function keys and look for the item that is a square or kind of a rectangle, rectangly square, let's say that, with two vertical lines next to it. That's your switch windows button. So if you hit Control plus switch windows, that will capture the entire screen. If you hit Control plus Alt plus the switch windows, that will be a capture window. So if you've got a single window in focus at the top of the screen, it will capture just that window. That's very handy when you have a dialog box or some other window you want to capture. As a matter of fact, for the show notes, I use that a lot to capture most of the images you see in the show notes. So you can go take a look at that and you'll get a good example. Now, let's say you just need a certain area of a page or a certain area of the operating system. That will be Control Shift Window Switcher. Okay, so Control Shift Window Switch will capture an area. And that how that works is you'll select that option and then you'll be presented with a crosshairs, and then you can draw crosshairs around what you need. Now, here's the different thing about the keyboard shortcuts I just showed you. And you may be saying, why don't I just use some extension that you like in the browser? You can do that. However, that extension will almost always only do whatever is located within the browser. It has to be focused in the browser. These screen capture shortcuts that I've shared with you will capture anything anywhere in Chrome OS. So I think it gives you a little more flexibility. So check those out. Remember, the key to all of these is, first of all, the Control key plus the window switcher button, and then add the Alt and the Shift. Again, those are in the show notes. You'll probably want to practice those a few times to see how they work. For the last category, I kind of called it miscellaneous. These are things that don't really fit anywhere else. Maybe they work with the system, or they just do something else that maybe you weren't aware of. So the first one is Alt plus Launch. Alt plus Launch will return your caps lock key. Many people don't know that you can still turn on caps lock even though you don't have a caps lock key on the Chrome OS keyboard just by hitting Alt plus Launch. Kind of makes sense. It works well, so give that a shot. There's also Launch plus L, so that will lock your screen. So you're sitting at your desk, you need to lock your screen quickly to step to the side or grab something, you want to protect it, hit Launch plus L. That will lock your screen. Now, you may just want to sign out. You just may need to get out of there. You don't want to just lock it. You want to sign out of your account. You can do that with a keyboard shortcut as well. That is Control Shift Q. Very quick way to sign out. Now, the very beginning of the show, I demonstrated how to use a keyboard shortcut to bring up shortcuts. Did you know you can also use Control plus forward slash, the slash below the question mark, to display a Chrome OS help screen? So if you just need help on anything Chrome OS, try that in anywhere except when you're in Google Docs, Sheets, or Slides. I'll tell you about that in a minute. And that will bring up Chrome OS help screen. Now, if you're in one of those G Suite applications I just talked about, a Control plus forward slash will bring up the help for those applications. So at least it's consistent, and it is very handy for not only those applications, but for Chrome OS if you want to find out how to do something. It's actually a really good help screen, so check that out. And then finally, the last keyboard shortcut I want to talk to you about is sometimes you're in an application, especially in Linux, if you're running Christini and the Linux beta, sometimes you need a function key. And you may be asking yourself when you're in there, hey, how do I get a function key? These are all pre-assigned function keys at the top that do things like screen brightness and screen switcher and all that. Well, it's quite easy. If you need a function key, an F1 through an F12, hit Launch plus the top row. So F1 would be Launch plus the very first button, and then you have F1. So you can still use function keys in Chrome OS. You may not have known that. So those are all of the keyboard shortcuts I want to share. Obviously, those are not all, that's not an exhaustive list. There are lots of other ones, and you may have favorites that I didn't share. I would love to hear your favorite keyboard shortcuts, and you'll be able to do that. We'll talk about that towards the end of the show and how you can provide that feedback. But what did I miss? Let me know what I missed. So your homework for next time is to pick some of these shortcuts you think will be useful and start committing them to memory now. Give them a shot, try them out, and start using them regularly. Then once those are kind of keyboard shortcuts you use on a regular basis, then come back and add some more. Sometimes it's a little overwhelming to look at all of these and start to use all of them. You're not going to remember them all, but start to use three or four of them that you think would be helpful. For instance, for me, it was screen captures. I take so many screen captures, especially for this show in preparation, but also for work, that those just became you know, again, second nature for me. I don't even think about them anymore. All three of them I use on a regular basis. Now I'm going to start to add some of the ones that I'm not as familiar with. And after time, you'll get those built in. So they're very handy, and that's a great way to start those. So again, everyone I talked about, and they're by category and they're in the show notes. So go in and check those out. This is only part one of the series. I didn't mention that at the beginning. There is a part two, and we're going to talk about that during the next episode. The next episode in part two, we're going to look at some additional tools and tips and tricks that will help you get even more use out of your keyboard. I got some really cool things planned for that episode. So you're going to want to come back to get those tips and tricks. That completes this episode on keyboard shortcuts. Let's roll into this week's version of the addendum. If the show sounds a little bit different this week, I hope it's because I feel like I've made some upgrades to my podcast studio. For instance, this past week, I guess it was about a week and a half ago, I found an amazing deal on a Mackie FX8 version 2 Pro. It is an amazing little mixer. I'll give you a little demonstration of what it's capable of here in just a minute. I also added, and this won't help with sound, but it does help with my ears, the One Audio Studio headphones, extra cushion, extra comfortable. I'm loving this thing just for my first episode. And then I also went away from a condenser microphone to a dynamic cardioid microphone from Pyle that was pretty inexpensive. It's generally compared to a Shure microphone that is almost 4 to 5 times as much money, but I think it's got a really good sound. So going back to that Mackie, there are some really cool things you can do with it. For instance, I am going to, let's see, I'm going to set a setting here, and then I'm going to kick this up, and you'll notice that I get a little change, and I can add some echo to the show, and I can gradually bring that out. And I can also make it sound like I am in a, let's do a warm lounge. So now I'm going to kick this up, and now I'm in a really warm lounge, and I'm really kind of digging that. So let me pull that back, and then let's do one more. Let's put me in a, concert hall? Let's go to a concert hall. Okay, I think that's set. And now I'm going to kick myself into a concert hall so you can hear the extra echo in the back. But I can do some really fun things, and I know that will get annoying, so I won't spend too much time. But I did want to demonstrate it for you. The other things it allows me to do is I can connect up to 8 devices. I'm looking now at a way that I can connect a Google Assistant to this particular board so that we can future episode, I can record and capture in really great detail or crisp clarity what the Google Home Hub, for instance, is reporting back. So I did want to share that with you. Links are in the show notes for all of these new upgrades I made if you're interested yourself. But I tell you, I had some problems with the Mackie right up front, getting it exactly where I needed to be, all the settings. But once I got it set, I'm really liking it. And this new Pyle microphone picks up a lot less of the ambient noise around me. And so I think it's doing a great job. I'd love to hear your feedback. Let me know what you think. And I'm also hopeful that I have to do less post-processing, because it used to be that I would add or take care of the equalization in post-processing. Now I'm just letting the Mackie do that itself. So I hope that was a good investment. Let me know what you think. I think I mentioned this in the past that I had an Epson inkjet printer and I had a printer cartridge explode all over my carpet. It had to be blue. It wouldn't come out, and the carpet has a permanent stain. I've got some extra carpet. I should probably have that pulled out and restitched in. It is downstairs, though. It's in my kind of geek cave, or as my wife likes to call it, the bat cave. And it really doesn't, nobody ever sees it but me, but it's kind of a mess. Well, last week I was playing around trying to get another inkjet swapped out, and another one exploded on me. Luckily, I was prepared from the previous one and I had something under it. But I have just given up completely on inkjet printers. No longer am I going to use an inkjet printer with my Pixelbook when I need to print something. I couldn't believe it. It's been such a long time since I've actually looked at laser printer prices, but I found a Wi-Fi Brother compact laser printer. So it sits on my Wi-Fi network. I have access to it. My wife has access to it. All of our devices have access to it because it's connected to our network. It was under $100. Since when did these wonderful laser printers have a price of under $100. Again, I guess I've just been out of it, but it's an amazing little printer. I have a link in the show notes. But what even floored me more was I found 2 toner cartridges for $24. 2 for $24. So that's like $12 for the toner cartridge, not an inkjet cartridge. We're talking the full rollers here for $12 a piece. That's cheaper than some inkjets printer manufacturers are charging for the inkjet cartridges. I highly encourage you to start looking at a laser printer. Now, if you need color, that wasn't something we were interested in anymore. I just didn't need color. Anything I do in color is, you know, electronic now. But for black and white, for $125 and three high capacity cartridges, because it already comes with one cartridge, that's probably going to last us forever in this household. So I do have links in the show notes if you would like to see what we purchased. So you may be asking yourself or asking or wondering or wanting to ask me what I think of the Pixel 4 a couple of weeks in. I have to say I am still extremely pleased with my Pixel 4 XL. I have seemed to have noticed that the battery seems to be settling in, that that battery saver that's built into it, it evidently does take some time for it to kind of understand your usage. I'm still getting good battery life out of it. I'm getting still better than my year-old Pixel 3 XL battery life. I do believe, though, I am noticing that after spending more time with it, the battery life probably is not as good as the Pixel 3 XL was when it was brand new. Now, I don't have a lot to base that on. I'm just going off usage, but maybe the battery is a little weaker or not quite as long lasting as the Pixel 3 XL was brand new. But again, it's better than it was. So I'm still pleased. I still get plenty of time out of it. By the end of the day, I'm still at 50%. So for me, it works really well. I do see some folks having problems with the Pixel 4, but the Pixel 4 XL is working really well for me. Everything seems to be functioning perfectly. I have had no problems with Android Q. I'm using the entire gesture interface. I love it. I've gotten used to it. There are no buttons at the bottom of the screen. I get to use all that case. So really enjoying it. Really enjoying the face identification. Everything is great so far. We'll come back and look at it in about a month or so, and we'll take maybe a little longer term review of that device, but working well for me. And the perk is my wife got my Pixel 3 XL. Many of you know I'm in love with these flip cases. The Phytene had a pink flip case. Link in the show notes if you want to see what it looks like. And my wife was thrilled to get the Pixel 3 XL with her own pink flip case. And so now she has room for her IDs and some money, and she's really enjoying her Pixel 3. And I was a little concerned because she is one who likes a device and she likes to stick with it until the end of life for that device, so she doesn't have to learn anything new. But even she admitted she really likes the Pixel 3 XL, which was a huge upgrade from her Moto X4, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. She is going to be out this weekend out of town, and she's looking forward to taking some pictures with her new camera. I asked her to do that so that she could see how good the camera is, and she's going to be in a couple of situations where it's going to be low light. So I'm anxious for her to see how night sight works. So I have to give her a little tips on how to use that, but it should be pretty exciting. So it's great to have a Pixel 3 XL and a 4 XL in our house because I can kind of watch and track their progress over time together and see what updates they get, and hopefully keep you updated about what's happening with whichever device you have. Now, I mentioned she was using a Moto X4. I commandeered her Moto X4. I got another Google Fi SIM, which, by the way, if you don't know, Google Fi SIMs are free. I think you can have up to 4 of those. So you order one of those, it comes to your house. You can go to Best Buy, I think, now, and Target and buy those. Why buy them? Just wait. Just order it from Google. Let them send it to you for free. And then you can drop that in another phone and add a data package to that device. Now, here's what's interesting about it. You don't get phone, you don't get text, but that device now shares the data with your regular account. So I had been doing this with an older Nexus 6, and now I've taken that Nexus 6 SIM, plugged it into the Moto X4, added a $5 hard case to the device, and now that's the device I go running with. I will tell you, that little Moto X4 is an amazing little phone. It has a decent screen. It's pretty fast. I haven't noticed any slowdown. I just load the apps I want for my run, which is, I think, Nike Running, Google Fit is on there. I have location services on for all those devices. And I also threw a couple other apps on there that I like so that when I'm done running, I can get either some email triaged, or I can read my feeds to find out what I'm going to talk about next on the Pixel Power Podcast. So as I'm cooling down outside, I have that, and I don't have to worry about dripping sweat all over my Pixel 4. I can use this Moto X4 and drip sweat all over that with its protective case. So links to all of that, including the Moto X4, are in the show notes if you're interested in any of those devices. Last week, I mentioned that I thought the Google Assistant was working with my G Suite account, my education account. It, in fact, is not working. I think I had assumed I had installed it on that device when everything transferred over, but I had not really, I think, entered the password and got it activated. So unfortunately, when I did add my educational G Suite account, I did lose that new streamlined and slick looking Google Assistant. That really irritates me. Come on, Google. Surely you can figure this out. It's not to the point where, you know, it's useless because of that, but it just would be nice for it to work, right? If you have a G Suite account, shouldn't you, because you're paying for extra googly stuff, the new Google Assistant should work with that? Time will tell. I could remove it. I could probably get away by not having it. But again, if you don't, if you do have that, you also lose some of the new Google Assistant features too. So that's kind of a bummer, but I'll continue to play with that and let you know where I land on that. Now, probably last week you were saying, I'm so glad Steven got a Pixel 4 XL because now I don't have to hear him griping about Android Auto not working. So never fear, Android Auto still works great on my Pixel 4. However, I wanted to let you know that I did receive word from Google support. They did a follow-up, which just impressed me that they followed up and said, hey, you might want to try this out. We've had some people have luck with this. Turns out that it could simply have been that my USB-C port on my Pixel 3 XL was a little dirty or something was caught in there. They recommended taking a high-pressure air hose or one of those canisters of air and blowing that port out. And evidently, that's been working for people. So if you're in a situation where your Pixel phone is not connecting to Android Auto, try that. I have not tried this on the Pixel 3 XL that my wife has now, but I do plan to do that. Hopefully I'll remember to do that this week and then can let you know in a couple of weeks during the next episode whether that worked or not. And finally in the addendum, I think finally, let me scroll down here. I believe that's right. Oh no, I'm sorry. It's not finally. I've got a couple more things. But anyway, November updates for Android 10 have arrived for the Pixel 3 XL. But not for my 4 XL. I find that odd, but looking online, it seems like the updates have been postponed for the 4 XL for some people. Some are receiving it, some are not. So I'm not sure if there's something wrong with it, but I've not received it yet. But again, Nikki on my old Pixel 3 XL has already received that update. So if you're on a Pixel 3, you're getting your security patches faster than you are on the Pixel 4. That seems odd. However, on a brighter side, Google extended support for a bunch of Chromebooks. And so you may be aware that Chromebooks have a shelf life now. Google will only support Chromebooks up to, like, I think it's 4 years or 5 years, I believe is what it is. So they have expanded a bunch of end of life for a lot of different Chromebooks. If you have a Chromebook that's not a Pixelbook or a Pixel Slate, there's a whole list out there. You can do a search on the web to find that. However, if you have a Pixel Slate, you just got an extra 2 years. So it's going from June of 2024. Wow, I can't believe we're saying 2020 anything, to June 2026. That is a really good extra support for that device. By the way, Pixel Slates are really going for some great deals during the holiday as they start to phase that out. These are still excellent devices. I really recommend a Pixel Slate if you're looking for another device, especially now that we have 2 years on top of that. Interestingly, though, the Pixel Book did not get an extension, so you are not going to get an extension on your Pixel Book yet. However, that might be coming. We'll just have to see about that. Going away from the Pixel for a little bit and going into talking about the Google Home Hub and the Google Mini. If you have those devices, not the Google Home Hub, I'm sorry, the Google Home or the Google Mini, you can now pair those in stereo. So let's say you have two Google Minis. You can put one on the right side of your desk, one on the left side of your desk. You can pair those for true stereo sound. Now, that's not going to make it sound necessarily better, but it is going to give you stereo separation, which will add a little bit of separation to expand that sound. So it may sound a little bit better, but you can now do that. Now, if you do that with a Google Home, a couple of those with those great bass, and you place those to the left and to the right and pair those, that could be pretty impressive. So go into your Google Home app, look for that. It also, in doing my research, what I found is when you pair two of them together, one of those microphone sets will get shut down. so that you're not getting an overlap of those devices, and it's not going to respond on both of those. So it's only going to respond on one, which makes sense because you're not going to have those so far separated. But so keep that in mind if you're interested in doing that. I have a couple of Google Minis myself. I'm thinking about doing that here on the desk where I was just talking about plugging it into the Mackie just so I could have some stereo sound. So might give that a shot. Also, if you've not tried it yet, go to your browser, your Chrome browser, and type in cal.new or meeting.new. And if you are a Google Calendar user, you're going to love that typing in cal.new or meeting.new will start a new event creation page in your browser. So it's a good, quick way to create an event. And this just goes along with their other devices or their other shortcuts, which were, let's see, doc.new, keep.new, there is slide.new or slides.new, there is sheet.new, and then there is form.new. So add cal.new and meeting.new to all those, add that in a URL, and you can create new documents in all those applications. It's a great, great little shortcut. I've actually created in my bookmarks bar a folder that contains all of these so I can quickly create something. Before we end on a little discussion about Reddit, I also want to talk about this is the time of year that Black Friday sales begin. I can't believe that I'm already seeing deals before Black Friday for Google devices. But if you're looking to get a Google product or a Google device, a Pixel, Pixel Book, Google Home Hub, anything Google related, you need to start looking now. There's going to be some really good deals coming up. So if you're in the market to get something for yourself, a little something for yourself is always something I like to do. This is the best time of year to do it. I'm still going to hold out for the traditional Black Friday date, but we are seeing some amazing deals already on Pixel Slates. We're probably going to see some up to $200 off on new Pixel 4s. Pixel 3s and Pixel 3As, I can only imagine you're going to see really drastic cuts. And we should start to see some cuts on the new Google Home Hub, the Hub and the Hub Max as well. So start looking at those, tracking those. And if you're looking for something good for yourself or a family member, that'd be the time. This would be the great time to do it. And then finally, before I talk about how to connect with me online, I do want to talk about Reddit. The Reddit group is growing and we're getting a lot of great conversations. I hope you will come over and join us over on Reddit. Go to Reddit, search for Pixel Power Podcast, and you'll find the Reddit page. I've done some really great things there, making really great use of the Reddit page and its capabilities, sharing something almost daily that maybe I haven't talked about in the show, or maybe I'm going to talk a little bit about more in depth, sharing a little of my Pixel powered life, maybe an image here or there, sharing some new things that I've purchased. But we're also starting to get some discussion going, and I've even had some discussions and direct chats with some of the listeners. I'm really enjoying that. Continue to send those questions. I love interacting. And then what I do is I take that interaction, almost always somehow incorporate it into the show, which is great. So come on over to the Reddit, check it out, leave a message. Remember that you too can share something that you think the Pixel Power Podcast community would find interest in, and we can all talk about it. You do have that capability. Doesn't it just have to come from me? So that completes this episode of the Pixel Power Podcast. Again, this was episode 38. And remember, there are a lot of other ways besides Reddit that you can connect with the podcast. First of all, don't forget the website at www.pixelpowerpodcast.com. Remember, you can get to the episodes by typing that exact same string again, /episodes/ the number you're looking for. If you want to see all episodes, don't add a number, just put episodes. If you want to send me an email, I do check email. It's Steven@pixelpowerpodcast.com. And don't forget, again, our subreddit, there is a link in the show notes if you're not sure where that is, what that looks like. And you can also go to the Pixel Power Podcast webpage and see an embedded Pixel Power Podcast subreddit if you don't have an account or don't want to join, but just kind of want to follow along. And then finally, you can follow the podcast on Twitter, link in the show notes, but just go to Twitter, search for Pixel Power Podcast, and also leave me a comment on Twitter and make sure to hashtag Pixel Power Podcast, and then I can find that when I do a search. Finally, if you'd like to leave audio feedback, and I would love for somebody to leave some audio feedback, we haven't done that in a lot of episodes, you can do that by visiting the link in the show notes at anchor.fm/pixelpowerpodcast/message. I also have a way that you can record your own MP3 file and upload that directly to me in Google Drive. So that is available in the show notes as well. And then finally, I wish you would consider supporting the podcast so that I can continue to bring you even more Pixel powered news and products and tips. And you can find out how to do that on any episode page as well as in the show notes. So I won't belabor that point. This is not PBS. So that's it. And I look forward to seeing you next time or talking to you next time. I won't be seeing you, but I'll be talking to you next time when we go into part two of becoming a Chrome OS keyboard master. Thanks again for listening. And again, veterans, thank you so much for your service. We appreciate everything that you have done for us.